Who could ever imagine that a ventriloquist and his puppets would be popular on a radio show? Well, if 19 years on radio is any indication, that combination worked very well. The Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy radio program aired from 1936 to 1955. Edgar Bergen was the ventriloquist, and his very talented puppet was the amazing Charlie McCarthy. This program made the duo of Edgar and Charlie overnight superstars. The show was one of the highest paid shows on radio. Now, Edgar and Charlie were first introduced on the Rudy Valley Hour and then became part of the Chase and Sanborn Radio Hour, sharing the spotlight with Dorothy L'Amour and Don Ameche. From there, the show went on to be one of the 10 top radio shows for 10 years in a row. Many famous film and Broadway personalities loved to appear on the show because it was so popular, and as I mentioned, it paid very well. Oh, people like Frank Sinatra, Judy Garland, Rita Hayworth, Orson Welles, Mae West, Fred Allen. And in the track you're going to hear from the Chase and Sanborn Radio Hour year of 1942, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, vocalist and actress Ginny Simms, and the real McCoy himself, Walter Brennan. Ray Noble and the orchestra provided the music, and it was June 28, 1942 on a Sunday evening. That was 78 years ago. It was also the last show of the season, and the last show for Abbott and Costello, who were slated to go on tour entertaining our troops who were just in the beginning of World War II. Now, Edgar asked Charlie's help in courting Ginny Simms. They had just appeared in a film together, and Edgar was kind of sweet on Ginny, and Charlie had a lot of advice. Now, you notice I did not mention it was good advice, it was just advice. Walter Brennan discusses his various movie roles and joins the cast in an old-fashioned melodramatic skit, and Ginny sings one of the songs from the film that she and Edgar were in. The show was on NBC, and as I mentioned, Chase and Sanborn Coffee was the sponsor. So climb aboard the Heirloom Radio Time Machine as we go back 78 years to the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy Show. And by the way, thank you for listening.
Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, Ray Noble and his orchestra, our guests that great character actor Walter Brennan, and the singing star of Edgar and Charlie's new RKO picture, Here We Go Again, Ginny Simms and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, Ginny, dear.
Hello, Charlie, darling.
Oh, Ginny, you make me feel so skinny.
Are you all right now, dear? Are you all better?
Of course I'm all right, Charlie.
Of course I know what you went through.
Well, certainly she's all right. Why shouldn't she be?
Well, Bergen, I heard that after Ginny played a love scene with you in the picture,
yeah,
she went home with a chill.
Is that so? That's not funny.
No, it's tragic.
Here. Well, don't tear me down in front of Ginny.
No, I won't do that. Just promise me. I promise you.
The least you can do is build me up.
Build you up?
Yes.
You want me to misrepresent?
No. That's not exactly the word. You see, Charlie, there are times when we prefer to, cover up our faults.
Oh, I see. You want to borrow my hat.
No.
Tell me, Bergen, I don't like to be inquisitive.
No.
But I do.
Yes.
How are you doing with Ginny? Just off the record. Make it any progress?
I've been entertaining her with... some degree of success?
Yeah?
Yes.
Did you, or are you just, shall I say?
Well, I... You see, Charlie, Ginny is different.
Yeah?
Yes, she's really different.
They're all different, my boy. They're all different. Tell me more, fool.
Now, wait. Well, Ginny's the type of a girl that she doesn't care for glamour and nightlife.
Uh-huh.
She prefers the simple things.
She does.
Yes.
You're sitting pretty, aren't you?
Well, stop beating around the bush. Tell me, have you kissed her? Have you?
Well, you liar. Now.
Come on. Remember, we're pals. I don't talk.
All right.
Much.
Did you? Well, what business is it of yours?
Oh, you didn't, huh?
Well, after all, why should I?
Why should you?
Yes.
That's too much, boy. That's too much. It's being done, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Yes, last night, yes.
I held her hand.
You brazen fellow, you.
Yes, and then I looked into her eyes.
Right here, ladies and gentlemen, romance creeps into the story.
Smells a rat and creeps out.
All right, just be quiet. Fine.
Ginny's coming this way. Oh, now remember, don't tear me down.
Okay, Bertie, okay.
Build me up.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Ah, there you are, Ginny, there you are.
Hello, Edgar.
Yes. Go ahead, Romeo, do you stop here? There you are, Ginny. There you are.
This is going to develop into a beautiful role.
Yes. You'll forgive me, Ginny. When I'm with you, I feel like a boy of 21.
Well, you couldn't be much more than that, could you?
Uh-oh.
Answer the lady.
Well, I must confess, I'm afraid I've sneaked into the 30s.
Sneak into the 30s? You're slopping over into the 40s. Good. You'll never see 38 again.
What do you mean?
Except around your waist, dog.
Tell me, Ginny, what type of a man is your ideal?
Well, first I like a man who is always cheerful and happy.
Oh. Is he obvious?
I'm glad that I have been blessed with a happy disposition.
She said happy man, not slap happy. Oh.
And now, Ginny, what else do you like in a man?
Well, he must be athletic.
Athletic, yes, of course, yes.
Bergen is a two-goal yo-yo player.
And what other requirements, if I might be so bold?
If he might be so bold, isn't it sickening?
Well, now,
yes.
He must be liberal and generous and, well, liberal and generous.
Uh-oh. Well?
Well?
You
give up, don't you?
Broadcast of the season.
And I didn't get my Chase of Sanborn kiss yet either.
Oh, well, calm down.
I'm glad it's the last because, you and I, yes, we're going away.
Oh,
we're going to the Naval Reserves and things like that. We're going to learn how to be good sailors.
But you'll miss the place, don't you think?
I think so, too, because this is a beautiful place
where
we broadcast.
It's been so homey down here.
The nicest looking barn we've
ever
been in. It's the nicest looking place we've ever been in.
The coziest little studio in the place.
Get a lot of that wall over there.
Yes.
Isn't that a beautiful wall?
Marvelous.
You know what that wall reminds me of?
What?
This one over here.
Well, the wall. Suppose you walked over there and you bored a hole in that wall.
Okay, I walk over there and I bore a hole in the wall.
Why? Why should you go over there and bore a hole in that wall?
I'm not boring a hole in the wall.
Why should you go over there and bore a hole in that wall?
Wait, you said to me, suppose you go over there and bore a hole in the wall.
That makes no sense.
I was stupid enough to say I'll go and bore a hole in the wall.
That's
you're not going to put that blame on me, brother.
I
want to get out of here. I don't have to go out for a hole in the wall. Ain't got extra here if I want to get out.
exercise. What makes you so dumb?
Oh, it just comes to me natural.
Sure. Suppose you walk into a baseball park. What teams are playing?
I don't know.
Then what are you doing in that baseball
park? You've got me in there, now get me out!
What is the first thing you buy in a baseball park?
A hot dog.
A hot dog?
Well, mustard.
Oh, no, mustard goes with the hot dog.
That was mine.
Mustard was made for the hot dog.
No, I don't care what the mustard's made for. I don't eat it. I don't like it.
Oh, that's different.
Yes, well, if I don't like mustard, I'd have to eat it for you or nobody else.
I didn't know you disliked it.
Let me get out, big man. If you say eat mustard, I'm going to eat
it. I'm not telling you.
I'm my own boss, you know.
I only say it
don't. Everything that's going to make me sick, I don't have to eat it.
No, no, you
mustard makes me sick. I don't want to walk around the street sick.
Right.
I'm a married man. I've got a wife and two children.
Oh,
if I eat mustard, I get sick. I can't work. What happens to my kids?
Now, wait a minute.
They wind up in the orphanage. Why am I ever sending my kids to an orphanage? What do my kids ever do to you?
Nothing at all.
Why have you got to put them away in the orphanage?
Enough.
After all, I'm able to support them kids. You got a right to put them away.
This is our last night.
Come on. Get my kids out of the orphanage.
What started all this? Mustard. What I need is there if you want.
Take it away. I don't want it. I don't like it.
What I'm trying to convey to you is that the hot dog and the mustard go together.
They don't go together. I don't swim any romance.
Oh,
I don't like it. That's all.
All right, so you don't like it.
I like Worcestershire sheer short.
Are you on?
Worcestershire
sheer
short.
Worcestershire
sheer
short.
You can't even say it.
You can't. You don't like mustard.
I'll get
Give me a reason. Who are you that you shouldn't like mustard? What are you, some big shot or something? Too big a guy to like mustard?
Now, what did mustard ever do for me?
Oh, what kind of an argument?
All right, pick your friends. What do you want? Me or mustard?
Do you know where mustard comes from?
I know they don't scrape it off a mustard plant.
Certainly not. They manufacture mustard. Do you know they spend millions of dollars every year to put factories just to manufacture mustard? Do you know those factories employ thousands and thousands of men just to manufacture mustard? Do you know those men take care of thousands of families and homes all on account of mustard? And you, just because you don't like mustard, what do you want them to do? Close those factories down and put all those people out of work?
Do you mean to stand there and tell me just because I don't eat mustard, I'm closing down a mustard factory? Are you trying to tell me that those thousands of people are making one little jar of mustard just for me? If the island is tall enough to make any more, but they are not going to eat. If I'm laying off, who am I to support thousands? I can't even get my kids out of the orphanage. Why eat mustard? What happens to the poor people working in a Worcestershire here?
Close one factory at a time.
I'm not closing any factory.
There's people walking the streets now on account of you. Father's out of work. Husband's out of work.
I'm not putting any husbands out of work.
You don't even know what a husband is.
A husband is what's left of a sweetheart after the nerve has been killed.
Yeah. Suppose you walk out on a bridge and you jump off.
I'm not jumping off any bridge.
Then what are you doing on the bridge?
I'm not on any bridge. See, there's two things that I like, and it's bridges and mustard. And if you want to burn me up, brother, all you got to do is stick me in the middle of a bridge with a handful of mustard.
Oh.
What does all this got to do with me boring a hole in the wall?
Never mind that.
That's what fouls the whole world.
Just a minute. That damage is already done. You'll get a bill for that before you leave this studio. Don't worry about that. But you still haven't answered one question since you've been up here.
Why don't you ask me some a little sensible?
All right, say you walk into a railroad depot. Any depot at all. Any depot. Pick out your own depot. All right? The Grand Central Depot, New York City. You walk into the depot and you buy a ticket. Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere.
What are you buying a ticket for?
I'm not buying any ticket.
Well, where are you going?
Ask me that again! Go!
You're in a depot.
I'm in a depot.
What are you doing there?
I don't know.
Well, what does anyone go to a depot for?
Hey, it's for a couple of things.
Well, all right, we grant that, but what are you doing there?
I'll go away.
That's it. Now, where are you going?
I'm going away.
Where?
Why don't you let it go at that? I'm going away.
The way you're going?
I know where I'm going.
So tell the folks where you're going.
I am going away. I'll go to Philadelphia. I don't want to go, but I'll go.
What's the matter with Baltimore? What have you got against Baltimore?
I ain't got nothing against Baltimore.
Well, why pick on Philadelphia?
Because a good friend of mine, George Young, lives in Philadelphia.
Well, suppose George Young lived in Baltimore.
Well, then I go to Baltimore.
And what happens to your friends in Philadelphia?
I'm not talking to them anymore.
Suppose your wife was in Baltimore.
I beg your pardon?
Suppose your wife was in Baltimore.
Then I go to Chicago.
One of the brightest moments in our new RKO picture is Green and Revell's new song, Until I Live Again. Making this really a preview, Ginny Simms sings it and Ray Noble plays it, just as they do in the picture.
Suppose you think she sang that for you, too, don't you? Lover boy?
All right, now, please.
He's burning up here.
I don't mind you kidding me, little Charlie, but not in front of our guests.
Our guests?
Yes. Walter Brennan is our guest, you know.
Walter Brennan?
Yes.
What did he do?
What did he do? What did he do?
No, I asked you first there.
Well, Walter Brennan is one of our greatest character actors.
He is?
Yes. And I'll never forget that thrilling scene Mr. Brennan did in Meet John Doe.
Yeah?
Yeah, I tell you, I wouldn't mind seeing that again, either.
Yeah, well, why don't you ask him to do it again?
All right, I will.
Walter?
Yes, Edgar? What is it?
I was just telling Charlie about that scene in Meet John Doe, remember?
Oh, yeah, let's see, Meet John Doe. Oh, yes, I remember. It was a very thrilling moment.
Yeah.
I walked up to John Doe and I said...
Yes?
Pleased to meet you.
Wonderful.
The guy is dynamite, yeah.
And another scene of yours I'll never forget, Walter, was that one in Sergeant York.
Oh, yeah, that was a...
How did that go again?
Well, I walked up to Sergeant York and I said...
Yes?
Pleased to meet you.
Here. I suppose in Kentucky you say, pleased to meet you all.
Oh, huh? Edgar, but you should have seen me in Swampwater. Mm. Now I played an entirely different characterization.
And it's about time, too. What did you do in Swampwater?
Well, I said, come on in, the water's fine.
I think Fred McMurray taught him acting in a hurry.
All right, Charlie.
See, Mr. Brennan, it just happens that I'm looking for a good actor.
Oh?
Yeah, and Skinny Dugan and me and some of the kids are putting on a show for the USO this summer, you see.
Yeah, that's so. Well, what kind of a show is it?
Well, it's all about a horse doctor. And, but we haven't got a title for it.
A horse doctor?
Yes.
Well, why don't you call it East Liniment?
Please, Mr. Brennan, don't rub it in.
And you think that I might qualify for one of the parts?
Well, I've heard some pretty good things about you. Of course, this is pretty difficult work. It's not like pictures. You got to learn not to fall over the footlights.
Oh,
like that.
Now, don't worry about me.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you only have three lines. Do you think you can handle them?
Well, I'll try.
Good. I like your spirit. I'll give you an idea of what it's all about. Music, please, Professor Noble. As the curtain slinks up on this hammy melodrama, night has fallen, so we leave it live. We see a vine-covered father sitting and rocking in a little gray-haired cottage. His daughter Ginny speaks.
What you doing, Pappy?
Just sitting and rocking.
Oh. What you doing now, Pappy?
Just sitting. Well, daughter, you better go get tidied up a bit. It's a big day today. Squire Bergen is coming.
Not Squire Bergen. Not that lecherous, treacherous, loathsome fiend.
But Squire Bergen, he's rich.
Oh, but I love Charles, the hired man, even though he is poor.
Ah, remember, daughter, the mortgage is due, and the cupboard is empty. Why, it's been weeks since the cat had a square mouse.
But must I marry Squire Bergen?
I sort of think you ought to, daughter.
Oh, woe is me.
Well, no matter how bad things look, child, always remember, the sun is always shining. All you have to do is open the door and let in the sunshine.
All right, Pappy, I'll open it.
Tarnation. That's what comes in the weather reports.
Well, look. Look what blew in.
It's Charles, my hired man.
Hello, Jenny, my love.
I thought I'd find you on my door, Stoop. What are you doing around the house?
Well, I just came to play a little rum with your daughter, Jenny.
What?
I brought a little gin for your rummy daughter.
You did?
I want to go home. I don't know what I want.
Oh, Charles, my darling.
Yes.
At last you are here. It's been so long since I've seen you. So long.
So long.
That goes for me, too, bub. Good night.
Good night.
Wait, Charles, my love. Father wants me to marry Squire Bergen.
Not Squire Bergen. Not that fugitive from a B1 tablet. He's a villain, I tell you. That's what he is, a villain.
Yes, but his earmuffs are saving him. He wears a cameo stick pin.
Who is there?
It is I, Squire Bergen.
Now remember, daughter, when he proposes on the horsehair sofa, don't say nay.
There you are, me proud beauty hottie.
You think he's bad now? Wait till he starts acting.
My pretty one, I've come to invite you to my farmhouse and see my stereopticon slide and colored.
No, a thousand times no.
Once is enough, daughter.
Squire Bergen, I shall never marry you.
You won't, eh? And why not?
And some still small voice within me whispers, you are a skunk, sir.
Don't be too hasty, daughter. Squire Bergen has a brand new electric butter churn. and 4 good buggy tires.
Oh, but he's a villain.
Oh, call me adventurous, headstrong, even reckless, mayhap. But villain? Not I.
Oh, you're not worthy to touch the hem of her garment, you varmint. Ginny is going to marry me.
Is that so? Yes, and she is. If she can't, if she won't marry me, no one will have her.
Well, get your line straight, villain. You can learn to read during the summer.
Yes, thank you. Do you see this?
What is it?
It's the time bomb. And at the count of 5, it will blow you all to bits.
I'd rather you blow me to 6 bits.
Yeah.
Please, oh, please, Squire Bergen, have mercy.
I don't know the meaning of the word. In 20 seconds, you die. Farewell. Listen to the bomb. It's starting to tick.
See, Mr. Brennan, what happened to that bomb?
It's still ticking.
Oh, it's fine. It was supposed to go off in 20 seconds.
When you hear the signal, the time will be exactly...
Oh! I think that's my arm over there.
Well, we raised the mortgage and we raised the roof, too.
Yeah, it clipped us, so help me, it blowed us up.
Join us there next Sunday. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to you from California.